Hey guys, Jacob here, and welcome to another episode of Automated Seller Podcast. We have a new special guest, Ryan, founder of Sally Analytics, which is the Amazon SaaS platform, which automates accounting and also has some human touch in it. Hi, Ryan. How are you?
Hey, Jacob. Doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. And yes, Ryan, maybe we can start with a very simple question. I mean, I really want to have a little bit of an introduction, maybe first to you, then obviously we'll talk about your journey to found the Sally Analytics and then what it is all about. But first, maybe Ryan, could you share with us your background, your story? How did you get to Amazon? And then, of course, how did you end up building Sally Analytics?
Yeah, of course, Jacob. So I'm pretty young, and it was 7 years ago when I first stumbled upon Amazon.
What do young mean? Sorry.
I'm 20 years old right now.
Oh, wow. Really?
So, yeah. Pretty young.
Then you're the youngest guest here.
Oh, woo.
Awesome. Nice. Go on. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries. So in high school, I won a $5,000 scratch ticket, actually. And I was looking up ways to turn that $5,000 into $10,000. And I just stumbled upon an advertisement for fulfillment by Amazon, that this way that you can make money online without needing to touch the products. And I was like, that sounds good, because I don't want to be shipping, packing stuff. And I went on Alibaba, found a product, put in $500, and it just started selling. Didn't even need to do any advertising. And over the years, I basically just kept reinvesting that profit into larger orders as well as new products. And from that first one, that was kind of a off-the-shelf generic product, but I really have learned to enjoy the product design process, and all of our products have been custom since then. And I sell in the tool space. I sell tool belts and accessories for construction workers, so it's kind of cool learning about that industry. And I've kind of grown it to do a couple $100,000 a year with a small team from all around the world.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And that was really like you started when you were 13, right? That's.
Yeah, just about 14.
Yeah. That's awesome. So basically you started selling, you learned everything on your own, right? And then at some point you decided to actually start the Sally Analytics. So I'm really curious. When was the switch? Why did you actually decide to start and build the Amazon SaaS platform and not just maybe continue the seller journey?
Yeah, I started really seriously researching this a bit about a year ago. And I've always been really entrepreneurial. I'm always thinking other business ideas. And especially once I got a couple team members in place to kind of handle the repeated tasks, it gave me the freedom to try and look at other business opportunities. And I've really learned to love the Amazon and e-commerce ecosystem. So I knew I wanted to stay in here, but especially being so young and I really like learning, I wanted to try something new. And so my first experience was business to customer, B2C. I wanted to figure out something that was business to business. And again, I started with YouTube. I saw a bunch of advertisements for like social media, marketing agencies, and all this generic junk that's way oversaturated.
But there are a lot of gurus also like promoting it, and the actual social media agencies to build it and to run is completely different to, and it's the opposite of what we see actually on YouTube. Like I'm actually coming not from the background, but like I, one of the reasons that I started Delta Logic was that I also kind of went to this self-improvement community, and then I watched a lot of gurus. Back then, there was no like Iman Gassi that is right now, but like there were a bunch of them back then, like Tai Lopez and so on, and they were promoting all of those things. So I know what you're saying, right? But yeah, go on.
Yeah, so I wanted something business to business. And after getting kind of annoyed with the gurus, I was like, let me step back and actually look at what are my pain points. And I really like data. I track a ton, both about my health, my fitness, and business KPIs. And my accounting process, I've always done it myself, as well as I spent a couple summers working for an accountant in high school and college. So I had learned that accounting is something I enjoy, and I realized that there was a number of pain points I had using multiple softwares and connecting data to these spreadsheets to run these custom reports that I wanted, that no, there was no one easy way to do it. I needed to do everything myself. And that
And
got me thinking.
what softwares did you use? Sorry.
Yeah, so I used QuickBooks desktop mainly, then I switched to QuickBooks
Oh yeah.
Online, and I used integration programs like A2X for to get the data from Amazon into QuickBooks. And then for e-commerce analysis, I was using Sellerboard, which kind of
Celebrate, yeah.
they do a lot of analytics on SKU profit, but it's not an accounting software, so you
Yeah,
still
yeah.
need QuickBooks.
Surely, surely. And then pretty much you somehow had to create the Sully analytics. So I'm really curious about the switch, right? Like how did it end up?
Yeah, so at first I've learned to try and validate things first, and so I wanted to talk to a number of Amazon sellers to see, is this a pain point? And I've been fortunate enough to meet some other Amazon sellers in my path. I went to them first, and they also experienced some similar pain points, maybe not always in wanting as advanced reporting as I, but definitely in the simplicity of needing multiple tools to do their accounting and never being sure, is this actually correct? And I kept that up. I did some cold emailing as well. I found other Amazon sellers online and I tried to be really non-salesy, like, hey, I'm just a fellow seller, just trying to learn how do you do your accounting, where are your pain points? And I was able to set up some meetings with people, and eventually those actually turned into some of my first customers.
That's awesome. So you actually did like in the software world, so-called disk. Sorry. Product discovery phase, right? Like you kind of first, before building something, you actually found the pain points. You actually looked at your first potential customers if they have the same pain point, and then you actually develop the software. It's actually a very common pattern also. Like I have a lot of SaaS friends, like SaaS founders friends who are actually also like good to incubators like Y Combinator, and also like they got like multiple millions of fundings through other VCs. But like one way of actually building SaaS platforms nowadays is also that you first actually sell it and then you build it, and it's actually a great way, and I think it's the only way that you should do it. Right now we are also working on some internal SaaS. I don't want to announce it yet, but all I can say that we actually sold it first to a couple of customers, and now we are building it. So I really like your approach. And when it comes to actually sellers, where did you meet them? Like, was it like from Facebook groups, or did you go to some conferences?
So at first, the quickest people, I'm in kind of an Amazon mastermind group, and I've
Okay.
kind of become friends with some people, so they were my immediate contacts. And then there were some Facebook groups that I reached out to people. I would search like people who posted anything about accounting, bookkeeping, QuickBooks, A2X, and as well as Reddit. I was kind of scanning those to see who's mentioning these topics, and then let me try and give them value because I don't want to just take from them, try and help them with whatever they were figuring out, even if it means giving tips on QuickBooks because I've used it, but then ask to learn more about how they kind of handled their finances and where those pain points might be.
Truly, surely. And then at some point, right, you decided to actually build it. So in order to build it, you need to know how to code. So I'm actually curious, like how was it for you? Did you actually hire some engineers, or did you have some friends who code, or maybe did you learn to code? Like I'm really curious about the building process right now. So you already know that there's a need for such a system. You already could have like your first potential customers for it, but now the execution part. So I'm really curious about that.
Yeah, and backing up one step too, in the validation process, I was using Figma to design kind of a mock-up of it. And I'm not very artistic in any way. I just had a gray white page with gray rectangles and text where I wanted stuff to be. And I was showing people, I was like, does this look good? They're like, oh, I guess. And
Good enough.
good enough. It hit the pain points. And
Yes.
my first thing when I was more serious is I went on Upwork and I found a UI designer who for about $400, he really took my vision, made it high fidelity, clickable, and kind of put exactly what was in my head onto the software. And that was, I kind of did a round, I circled back with some of those initial people saying, hey, here's kind of what this will look like. Do you have any more thoughts? And they're like, oh yeah, that's even better, kind of combining that QuickBooks and the reporting. So I kind of tried to keep in touch with them as I did that validation process there.
Surely, surely. So you got the you got the mock-ups of your app, and now the hardest part, so the coding part. And I don't know if you have like some experience with building other projects, products, digital products, or with coding in general. But like this is tough process. So I'm really interested. How did you actually touch this one?
So at first, I kind of wanted to find some experts. So I went on Upwork, I went on LinkedIn, I tried to find people in my network that were experienced software developers. And I wanted to try and tell them my idea and hear what did they think, how feasible was it, how large of a team, how much money, how much time would I need to build it. And I chatted with probably five or six senior, I don't even know what senior in the software development world means, but probably 10, 15 plus years of experience. And I still remember one of the first ones I was telling him, and I'm like, yeah, I want to combine QuickBooks. I want to combine this one. I want to combine this one. And he's like, dude, that's going to take a team of 10 engineers, $2 million, and 3 years to make.
Oh yeah.
And I said, well, I got $5,000 and I want it done in 6 months. So,
Yeah,
it was a
that's
little.
sometimes the problem, right? Like especially when you speak with those senior engineers working for especially for FAANG companies, that
That's right.
they have kind of different perspective of building software, right? Like there's something called MVP that you can really launch very fast, and you really don't need a budget. You don't need like a senior engineer, and then obviously those are those enterprise projects which obviously cost millions of dollars, right? So when it comes to those, like I fully understand, because in the end we've developed more than 100 different projects, and those projects range from $5,000, even less. If I come back to my first freelance work, Upwork jobs, actually, I was doing like a Google Sheets integrations. I was doing them for like $500, for example. So again, those are smaller projects, cheaper ones, but then obviously we've built like projects worth 500K plus. So there's software development and software development, but from what you had, a vision and the mockups, I'm actually sure that you found like a cheapest version. So I'm actually curious about that.
So I was a little discouraged for a second, but I was also kind of like, nah, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about, which probably not the greatest attitude, but I guess I'm trying to prove him wrong. And for my tool belt company, I have used onlinejobs.ph to hire a number of people from the Philippines, and I figured that's where I'm going to try and start. And I found two people, I made a job posting there, and I found this other guy who he had worked on a similar kind of accounting project for a different industry, and he had it in his portfolio. So I was like, oh, cool. This guy knows relevant experience here. And he had another person for quality assurance and some other coding help. And he's like, yeah, let's go. So I explained the vision, thought it was good, and we started coding. And that happened for about a month. And in that month, by the end of the month, there was a login page and there was a home page that had my logo in it. But there was nothing really else. And I was like, what are you doing? He's like, we're coding. And he was a big talker. He kept telling me we're doing this, we're doing that. And I didn't know much about code. I'd taken a class on Java and one on basic web development, like HTML, CSS. But I could see on Bitbucket for our commits that maybe once a week he was pushing like 10 lines of code.
Oh, wow.
And
Okay.
I was paying not a lot of money, but a couple hundred bucks a week for him and this other lady
Then I think it's
who.
a lot of money actually for such a job, right? Like speaking of a login screen and website, especially nowadays with low code tools, but not even talking about the low code tools, because like monthly they are very expensive to actually build these as, but like just like a open source frameworks, like
Exactly.
average developer should ship it within 1 2 days, so.
That's what I was thinking. I didn't know how it works, but I was like, this doesn't feel right. And so we were using PHP Laravel, and I was like, I'm just going to start teaching myself this thing. And so I started watching YouTube videos and doing projects, just following along, making these other mini web apps. And I was like, this is kind of fun, actually. I like math. I like logic. I like the problem solving. Let me start doing this. And after a couple weeks of me kind of learning on the side, not telling this developer, I was like, all right, I'm going to start trying to code some of these features. And I started doing that, and I started shipping code way faster than these other guys. And I was working like an hour a day.
Oh, wow.
And I sat down with them and I told them, you have a week to push more code than I am. And you guys are working 40 hours a week. And at the end of that week, there was no more code push, so I fired both of them.
So there were
And
actually two developers working on
yeah,
that.
one
And
full-time, one part-time.
that was a full time. Wow, that's crazy. But like you weren't doing like any check-ins or like meetings with them, like so they could show it to you.
Yeah, we were meeting like once a week and talking on Slack, and he just kept saying we're doing these things. He was kind of always talking about the future, like then we're going to do this, then we're going to do that, but
Oh wow.
they never did the now. So
Yeah, sure. Yeah, so that you ended up like really bad, really bad. Like usually, for example, because we have a lot of clients, for example, who go to us because they have some kind of projects. They have like even SaaS platforms with a couple of users. They usually actually hired first like Upwork freelancers or Fiverr freelancers, but the problem there lays in not that they don't have the project. They have the project. It's actually working. It looks actually decent usually, but then the problem is with the optimization, with the scalability, with the infrastructure, and so on. So they come to us. They say, "Okay, there's no really way of using it. Like all of our user base is complaining because we actually maintain a lot of SaaSes in the industry, like in the Amazon space." And then usually we have to actually rebuild everything from scratch, and we actually have to really like rethink the whole infrastructure. So that's usually the code, the problem when someone is hiring overseas. But at your case, like you were like completely scammed actually.
that's
So
what
I'm
that was
so
me. I was
sorry.
like, yeah, they're just login page and basic report after like a month and a half. So I fired them and I kind of started doing my own thing, kind of just building the framework of what are all the pages, what are the basic reports, and accounting, like QuickBooks. It's very comprehensive, it's a massive piece of software, but none of the logic is particularly complex. It's just adding, subtracting, and a little bit of multiplication for quantity times price. So I was able to take it a good bit forwards. And then that's where I decided, let me go back to the experts who this time I had learned, let me try and find people who had more startup experience, not those Google or App Fang engineers who they had a different view. And here are their tips on kind of the architecture. And they gave some helpful tips. And I kind of continued on myself for probably about a month and a half before I realized, all right, I kind of want to host this thing. How do I get this live online? And I started again. I was like, I'll go back to YouTube. But those videos, I was just like, nah, I'm not doing this development operation stuff. It looked way too complex for me, or and not enjoyable. So I went to Upwork this time, and I was like, I'm just gonna be really strict. I kind of know what I'm looking for. Can I find these people to actually do these specific tasks? And I was able to find two people on Upwork. One of them, kind of a general developer who was helping me with features that at first I gave him a small project test. I said, can you do this? And he did it in like an hour and sent it back all good. And I was like, that's more than my last two developers did in a month. So you're hired. And then I found this other guy, Leo, who he's been fantastic. And he actually has experience working with Amazon MWS. And so he was kind of my main developer who was helping integrate with the Amazon system. So he had experience with this and he helped put in a lot of hours as well as getting us live on AWS and trying to think a little bit more about our architecture. So with these better developers part-time on Upwork, that's where we were able to finish with them and me. That was kind of the end team.
Awesome. So awesome. So right now, actually, you're here. You have the working platform, Silly Analytics. Let's talk about some of the features. So you said that you already have your existing user base, your clients. I'm really curious, actually, what would you consider like top three features that people actually choose Silly Analytics software, and how is it helping them running their Amazon businesses?
Yeah, that's kind of exactly why I created it, for integrating three parts that I was using: QuickBooks, Sellerboard, and A2X. So what Sell Analytics is a complete double ledger accounting system to replace QuickBooks, as well as directly interfacing with the Amazon SP API to pull in your orders, your inventory data, financials, refunds. And it has that specific e-commerce specific analysis that Seller Board and some of these other tools had. So I took those three features, accounting, integration, and analysis, and kind of put it into one. And that's what a lot of the sellers like, is there's no complexity of needing to set up multiple tools together, and that they can see everything in one picture, that they can see their whole zoom in on a per product level, but they can also see what's their bank account balance, what's their cash flow, what's the inventory.
That's awesome, actually. And how big is your user base right now?
Right now, around 30 people trying to grow, so not too big, but got a couple.
Sure, but I think that, I mean, you said that you started around 1 year ago, right? So from actually building in, like from actually first hiring those bad developers, then learning to code, and then shipping this now, I think 30 is actually great job, right? Still, like you're bootstrapped, so I think there's a like really nice future ahead of you because you're very early in this game, right? So I'm really actually right now I want to ask you two questions. So the first will be like a roadmap, and then like your strategies about the client acquisition. Maybe first let's talk about the roadmap, right? Like you said, it's actually very simple tool, very simple platform. You combine it, those three things together, and the simplicity definitely lures new sellers to you. But I'm actually curious, like, what are the features that you really want to ship over the next year?
Yeah, over the next year, I think there's a really cool intersection of profit, cash, and inventory. That right now, there's a number of great inventory management tools out there that, especially for a private label company, if you're trying to factor in seasonality to say for Q4, I need to place orders in August, get the container here, and get that in. But what these inventory tools, they don't track is your cash flow. And because we actually connect directly to your bank account, we're able to say, and Amazon, we can say, well, looking at Amazon, your sales history, you probably need this much inventory, but based on your bank account, you don't have enough money to buy that. So trying to actually devise a plan combining both inventory as well as your cash to say, well, let's maybe split it up into two smaller shipments. I think that's a really cool opportunity, as well as I've kind of dabbled in some AI integration, not too much, but taking kind of some trends of reports over time, and to be able to pluck out specific products and trends that are troublesome. To say if you have 100 SKUs, it's kind of more than a little more than advanced reporting to say, well, your gross profit is down higher relative to these other products, or your clicks are up, but your conversion rate is down. So trying to give more specific analysis to this data that we all collect.
That's actually really cool. What actually came to my mind just right now is because you said that you are connected to the bank account and you actually see that, for example, someone doesn't have the money to replenish the stock and so on. But what came to my mind, like there are those companies, like I know actually one of them, like I know one of the founders really well. It's called Payability, and what they do is he's actually Polish, living in New York. Really cool guy. What they do is they are working like a bank, but for Amazon sellers. So I don't know if you know them, but like you can pretty much lend money. Like you can ask them for money, and then they will give it to you with like lower interest than bank. And then what I could see is like if someone is running the business, it's actually connected to your system, and then there's an integration with the bank, but at the same time, there's integration to Amazon and maybe some AI that actually analyze that there's a huge potential for certain products. It could have some integration with them. And then, for example, say, okay, there's a huge potential. Now you need more money to restock, and you should actually now like reach out to them or something like this. It just comes right now from my head, but I think this could be something very cool to check. So yeah, just thought about that.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, that's really cool. Yeah. One other kind of change in our roadmap is that early on, I envisioned this as a standalone software, kind of just like QuickBooks that people sign up and use it themselves. But as I kind of went back to those initial people that I had done the validation to, I realized that there was a really significant barrier to getting them to transfer their data over and switch these accounting systems they're familiar with for years. And there are some changes in the logic to fit e-commerce sellers better that I created, but that I would need to really educate these people and kind of change how they handle their finances. And so when I saw people struggling to switch and kind of not getting bought into it, I realized maybe I should try a more human approach done for you. Because once we can get people in and all your data synced, it's very easy to stay in, but it's that initial hurdle. So I enjoyed accounting and I kind of made the decision to add the human aspect to it.
That's super nice, and I think it's very smart because one thing that we see a lot is when we are building, actually, we are also working on helping companies build a lot of internal systems just for them to run their daily operations with like a lot of integrations, like automating of processes. And what we see is that that's the biggest obstacle is that people they love their routines, they love their what they are used to, right? So whenever there's a new software and it can really save them hours and hours, but they have to learn using it first. This is like a huge obstacle. So we are of course providing trainings to the companies when implement those systems. But like something that I really learned over years is like that people hate change. So that's actually a very nice observation that you have, and if you can actually add this human touch as well and hire someone on your side to use your system and handle their accounting, I think it is a game changer. And I actually seen this in Amazon space a lot, that behind a lot of tech companies there are also like services made by people, and I think it actually makes sense, and now I actually see why.
Yeah, I was reflecting kind of about my validation process earlier, and you mentioned starting with selling. And I realized I could have, the pain point wasn't necessarily the software integrations, but the accounting done for them. And then I could have just validated by selling, I'll do your bookkeeping for you early on, using existing tools that aren't as good, but it still would have alleviated the pain the same way versus I kind of went into it a little bit more solution oriented first,
Got it,
thinking
got it.
software would fix it.
Oh yeah, surely. And now, Ryan, the second question that I just asked, right? So, your strategies right now. So it kind of is more like the question overall about your day-to-day job, but I assume that right now at this stage, when you have your MVP ready, used already by users, you really focus on growing your customer base, right? So what are your strategies right now for client acquisition?
That's a tough question, and I'm still trying to figure out. But some of it, networking, going on podcasts, and some of trying to form partnerships. Because another thing I learned early on in doing more cold emails, more sales focused, is that people are very wary of giving access to their financials to people they don't know.
Oh, yeah.
And that accounting, finances is a super sensitive topic, which I want to completely acknowledge for those people. And so, if I'm able to form these partnerships with various people who can give a warm recommendation or intros or referrals, which is kind of how we're growing a little bit, it makes it a lot easier to say, well, how much money did you make? How many orders? And kind of really just get into the weeds. So, I'm doing some cold email, some cold outreach on Reddit, Facebook groups, and that gets me some people. But I'm really trying to figure out ways that I can get warm intros to more sellers. And there might be conferences too. I have not been to any. But
Get it. Yeah, the conferences are pretty cool, but I can tell you one thing, something very funny. I mean, for us, it's actually great because we are in the Amazon space, like market business space, and we are going to conferences. So our clients are kind of all of the people are which who are going there, like all of the businesses. It can be a seller, it can be a vendor, it can be agency, or it can be even like a SaaS platform, or like a accounting firm, like anything around businesses. It could be even lawyers, right? Like if we got like lawyers who are just serving Amazon sellers, and we could like build in some internal automations, that's also great. But the problem that I see right now, and a lot of people actually in the community are talking about that, is that it actually changed. Like it wasn't always like this, but if you go to any conference, any event, They are mostly service providers, and it's so bad to the point that there are like a lot of after parties around like those more popular events. That people who are organizing after parties, they are checking, double checking, like really in detail that if you register to them, that you are not a service provider, that you are not another company that is running like a SaaS business and trying to get sellers as well. Like I remember last year I was in the Amazon Accelerate, and there was like this networking party. There were like a group of people who were just chatting, having some fun, having a drink, right? Not even talking about business at this point. And then that this one lady that she just came, she said, "Hi, how are you?" And then she just asked right away, "Are you Amazon seller?" And we said no, and then she just disappeared. So it that bad, right? So it really, like, of course, not every conference is like this, but I wouldn't say like conferences is like a great thing right away, right? So those Reddit groups, Facebook groups, like there's a lot of nice Facebook groups. I think those could be like a really great strategies to do. Definitely, I would try Amazon. I mean, we are going to conferences. We're just not going to that many of them anymore. But this is something that I wanted to share. It might be valuable to you.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I still consider myself a seller first, that I have the business, e-commerce business still running. It's slowed down a little bit, but I can appreciate trying to provide higher quality for them. And that's also in my messaging to other sellers. I try and lead with that I'm a seller first. This is based on my own pain points. Is this something that you've experienced as well? And hoping it does better, but I think sometimes that can resonate with other sellers.
Sure. Thanks, Ryan. It was awesome to have you here, having the episode. I mean, again, you're the youngest founder I had ever on the podcast. I think the second youngest one is I am. I'm actually 25, so I'm not that young anymore, but still, it was super funny to talk to you. And I mean, having you started the entrepreneurial journey in such a young age, it is crazy. And I think it's really inspiring to a lot of listeners here as well. So thanks a lot, Ryan. And the last question I would have to you is basically, if people want to try your software, if people had some questions to you, how they can find you?
Yeah, the best way is go to our website, sellanalytics.com. That's sellanalytics.com. And there's a contact form as well as an email that happy to talk all things Amazon finance or just Amazon in general.
Awesome. Thank you. I'll make sure to include it also in the description of this podcast. And yeah, thanks a lot, guys, for watching. And Ryan, thanks a lot for coming.
Glad to be here. Thanks, Jacob.
Thank you. Bye-bye.